We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Noon 02 on the Fan. The final hour before you get your final spring training Yankee game on this radio station, because then on Thursday afternoon, it starts to count. Real Yankee baseball. And Joe and I will be broadcasting live from Yankee Stadium like we always do, though we actually didn't last year because opening day was snowed out, which was, I tell you, it created a moment I'll never forget because I got there early. I went up to the booth at Yankee Stadium, even though there was no way they were going to play this game. There were 4 or 5 inches of snow, and I was able to take pictures I'll never forget. And that is Yankee Stadium just covered in tons of snow with, I think, the graphic that said opening day 2018. Meanwhile, they didn't play. They played it the next day. I think it was a 4 o'clock start, so we never got to do a show from Yankee Stadium. But we will be there on Thursday, and Sweeney Murdy is joining me, a very special Saturday appearance. Sweeney, I feel like I'm in luck today. How are you?
Good, Evan. How are you doing?
I never ask you to come on Saturdays because I feel like I would be cheating. I feel like Richard Neer and you have a very deep relationship on Saturday, and
well,
I feel like it would be there would be something underhanded about it.
No, I'm allowed. You know, listen, we can split it up by a couple hours if you want. I actually had to do a last minute cancel on. I was scratched from Richard's lineup, late scratch because of some clubhouse stuff I had to cover down here, but. Yeah, happy to be on with you.
So what was the clubhouse stuff? Another extension? Who's got an extension now?
Oh, yeah. I wish those were the kinds of things we got to talk about. The only big news today is that, and you know, Aaron Boone was quick to pull us back in and tell us the reason for it. Greg Bird was scratched from the lineup today. He said it was completely my decision. Boone said that, you know, Bird could have played today. He just wanted to give him an extra day. And he's going to play tomorrow. So there was nothing that alarmed him in batting practice or anything like that. Bird took BP on the field today. He said, nope, just wanted to give him an extra day. Games don't count. So that's what's happening.
And that may be true, but there is always going to be, from Yankee fans and from myself included, a healthy skepticism about the health of Greg Bird until he proves otherwise. That's why when that story came out a few days ago, you know, I not joked, but said on the air, okay, we'll see Greg Bird in July, because that's been the track record over the last 4 years.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, you know, it's something he's been fighting, you know, and, you know, I think he was kind of, you know, the day that he got hit, he just said, yeah, it's fine, although he probably knew that it hurt. He wasn't going to tell us that. You know, he's been trying to avoid being the hurt guy this spring, but, you know, he's done that. He's had a good – there was only one thing he can do. You know, I get how Yankee fans feel about seeing Greg Bird hit in spring training, but what was the alternative? If he didn't hit in spring training, you'd just say the guy stinks. He doesn't deserve any chances at all.
Right.
He did what he – what he could control, staying on the field and trying to stay on the field healthy. He hasn't really done that in 2 years. So I think it was a big step for him to just feel like he could go out there and swing the bat again, and he did it all spring.
We are talking to Sweeney Murdy, and his Yankee Report is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need, and by your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer. Visit MBUSA.com. So much can change in spring training. When we were talking in middle of February about Luke Voit and Greg Bird, we didn't realize, well, there's a chance Aaron Hicks isn't going to be ready on opening day, which changes everything, because it looks like Gardner's going to play a lot of center, Giancarlo's going to play a lot of left. As we sit here today, less than a week before opening day, do you think that both Greg Bird and Luke Voit, at least until Hicks is ready, both get an opportunity right out of the gate, or do you still look at it as one or the other at this point?
No, it's going to be one or the other eventually, but you know, for the first week of the season and until Aaron Hicks is back, it's going to be both of them on the roster. The Yankees just get to delay that decision a little bit. You know, early in spring when Aaron Boone is asked, is there any scenario where you can see both these guys? And he said, well, anyone? Yeah, of course. And, of course, that was really code for if somebody gets hurt, and Hicks was the one that got hurt. So we'll see. He has not really ramped up activities yet. This isn't, you know, Hicks is an injury that they everybody thought was minor at the time, and now it's been 3 weeks, and he hasn't really started the road back. I mean, he said he feels better, but until you start seeing him on the field, you're still a couple of weeks away here. You know, Hicks had talked about being ready by April 4th, the first day he'd be eligible to come off the IL.
Yeah.
And he is not going to make that date. A little overly aggressive on that date is what Boone says at this point. So, yeah, until that decision has to be made, they don't have to choose, but they will choose eventually. They are going to choose one guy to stay on this roster and another guy who's going to be a triple A.
So right now on opening day, you've got Aaron Judge, you've got Giancarlo Stanton, you've got Brett Gardner, whose importance is through the roof right now because he's a center fielder, and he can still play center field, I think, at a pretty high level. And I guess you're going to have Tyler Wade as a super utility guy. Are they comfortable with those four guys on the major league roster being the only true outfielders?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had the plan all along was for four true outfielders, and Wade ends up kind of falling to the mix. Wade's pretty comfortable out there. You know, today's going to be interesting. He's playing center today with Gardner playing left. And I said to him, I said, "You going to be okay to Wade? I said, "You going to be okay taking charge out there?" He says, "Oh, yeah, watch. I'm going to call him off." He's pretty confident out there. I'm waiting to see the ball that gets in the left center because it's a lot different. You know, Aaron Hicks playing center field and calling off Brett Gardner is one thing. You know, Wade has played center before a little bit here recently, but he's never played it with Brett Gardner to his right. So I'm waiting for those balls out there where he's going to have to call these guys off and kind of take charge. You know, as long as nothing else happens to these guys, I think they're pretty comfortable. Brett Gardner is going to be the one who, having Brett Gardner play a lot in April is not the issue. Having him play a lot in August, September, you know, you want to space these days out and try to get him some rest so that he's fresher towards the second part of the season, which historically he has not been. But in the short term with Hicks out, I think it's less of an issue. As if that becomes a longer term, then it becomes a bigger issue.
Is Wade playing center field, though, more of an experiment than anything? Because I would assume if both guys are in the lineup on a given day, Brett Gardner's my center fielder, not Tyler Wade.
I agree. I think... You know, I can't see a situation in a regular season lineup where Gardner's in left and Wade is in center. I think this is a way of getting him some more reps in center, and simply that. But yeah, you're going to see Gardner play center field probably exclusively, I would think. You know, depending on how the schedule falls, you've got. After opening day, you've got one day off, and then you've got, I believe, six games in a row, including some at least one day after night. I think you're going to see Brett Gardner in every day, but it sounds like they're not going to be afraid to play Tyler Wade in center. I think you kind of have to see how that goes. But that's even at this stage, that's asking a lot of a guy to play 6 days in a row with day after nights involved, too.
I give Gardner this because I was skeptical on the decision to bring him back, and it's in the short term working out big time because of his ability to still play center field. I've always viewed Brett Gardner as a center fielder that's playing left field, and I think that's a part of why he's been so good defensively in left field. He's been a Gold Glove caliber player. I think on most rosters over the last 5 years, Sweeney, I think he would have been a more than capable center fielder, so they've had this luxury, I think, of playing a true center fielder in left field for the last bunch of years.
And if you know what Yankee Stadium is, 399 to left center, having the ability to have a second center fielder help cover that kind of ground is very important. His defense is premium. You know, they consider him, he's been a Gold Glove finalist, 3 years in a row now? He's a plus defender on a team that really doesn't have a lot of plus defenders from a scouting perspective. Aaron Hicks and Didi Gregorius, both of whom are injured, are other plus defenders on this team. So right now, as you look at it as a defensive unit, the only real plus defender is Brett Gardner out there. Plus, as much as, a lot of what happened to his offense last year was August, September, it was because Aaron Judge was hurt and Giancarlo Stanton's nursing a hamstring. So he had to play maybe more than you ideally wanted to. The other thing that I took note of with Gardner is earlier this month, I had an all-star pitcher tell me, he hates facing Brett Gardner because of how tough the at-bats are.
Right.
And, I mean, you're talking about a lineup full of sluggers. This guy's talking about Gardner. He says, it's strike one, strike two, and then it's take, ball one, foul ball, take, ball two, foul ball, foul ball. He says, all of a sudden, I'm staring at a 7 or 8 pitch at bat. And when you're facing that at the bottom of the order, before turning it over, and you know that Judge and Stanton and Sanchez, everybody is looming again, that's a really tough thing for a pitcher, and they are taking notice.
We're talking to Sweeney about the Yankees. What's the status of Severino right now?
Yeah, just he went a couple of days of throwing on flat ground, took a day off. Today's another throw day. I mean, he's still, you're still looking at least about a month before you can start thinking about having him back in the rotation. You know, Brian Cashman threw out May really kind of just ease the pressure of the timeline because he really needs to build back up again. When you're talking about a starting pitcher, you're talking about 5-6 weeks worth, and you're really in the first week here of building him back up.
Sess is in the rotation. He's earned it. I give him a lot of credit. I'm skeptical about what's going to happen once the games count, but the guy's had a brilliant spring training. Herman versus Loaisiga. Who gets the fifth spot?
I think Herman has probably been more consistent. Last night when Loaisiga started and he gave up 2 solo home runs, otherwise had some pretty good results, 7 strikeouts, threw the ball really well, fastball in the high 90s, good breaking ball. But if you listen to Aaron Boone's comments after the game, he mentions how there's still inconsistency with that fastball command. And as soon as you hear a manager or a pitching coach say that, I mean, that's, you know, that's code for he really needs to work more. And that's not a good thing to have as a starting pitcher when you're talking about lacking fastball command. So I think that what you saw from him last night was a good step in that he was able to recover from, you know, 2 bad pitches that turned out to be home runs and still set down a lot of hitters. But it would seem to me that Herman has shown them more consistency. And Sess is interesting because, you know, you've seen the results the last couple of years. He really feels like a different pitcher this year. You know, his confidence level, you can just see it in him. And a lot of that is, you know, when you talk about fastball command, being able to get that ball away to a right-handed batter or in on a lefty, that's what's given him a lot of problems in the last couple of years. He has shown that pitch leaks back over the plate where it can be smashed. And he feels a lot better about being able to locate that pitch. And that's an important pitch for a right-hander, you know, to what they call glove side fastball. If you're not able to locate that consistently, you're asking for trouble. Sessa feels a lot more confident with that pitch than he's ever been.
We're talking to Sweeney about the Yankees. We are 5 days away from opening day. They'll open up the season against the Orioles, who may be one of the worst teams in the history of baseball. This lineup at the start of this season, you know, trying to piece together what Boone's done in spring training, it's tough to look at the lineups because most of the lineups aren't your, you know, your full lineup. But it looks like Gardner 1, Judge 2, Stanton 3. And then after that, it seems like it could be anything. Is that a fair assessment that that's likely, at least to start with Hicks out, that that's probably the top 3 guys in the lineup?
Yeah, I would think so. And then you've got, you know, Voit, Bird, Sanchez combination, however you want. You know, Sanchez has looked really good this spring lately. Defensively, I was talking to Jason Brown, who's the catching instructor, and his spring defensive work has been very good, better than a year ago. He came into town earlier and in better shape, and that set him off with a very good framework to get his work in defensively, and they've noticed the difference. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit better over the course of the last week or so. His overall spring numbers are down. I think, and now you just wait to see who gets off to a good start. I mean, you're going to stack these guys in here. You know, Tulo has had a good spring. Tulo in the bottom third with, you know, Torres and Andujar somewhere in that bottom half of the order. If one or two of those guys gets off to a good start, that'll show, you know, obviously you want 9 guys to go off to a good start, and that's not going to happen. So if any of those guys in the bottom half can get off to a good start, that'll take some pressure off of these guys too.
So last night, Sweeney, as I was watching the tournament and getting ready for the big Nets-Laker game, I said, all right, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write out all my predictions for 2019. All right, so I've got them all written down. I got my feelings on what the heck's going to happen. I'm going to give you an out, all right? If you say, Evan, I'm not ready, let's wait till Thursday. I respect that. Are you ready to tell me, though, who the heck's going to win the American League East?
No, I'm not. I haven't thought about it yet, but I will tell you. Let's save it for Thursday.
All right. I'm giving you the homework assignment because I have decided who is going to win the American League East. And believe it or not, I think it's the Orioles. I think they're written. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be a toss-up between the Orioles and the Blue Jays in my mind. Yeah.
It's funny to think about this division because the Orioles are going to be historically bad. I think the Blue Jays are also going to be bad, not on the level of the Orioles. And I think the Rays are going to be feisty. It's just a matter of how good can Tampa Bay be? Can they actually build off last year? Are they more of like a low 80s kind of pain in the rear end kind of team? And then you've got the Yankees and the Red Sox. But I think one thing that's going to help the win total is the Orioles, because the Orioles are really that bad, and I don't think it's crazy, Sweeney, to think that the Red Sox and Yankees could beat the Orioles 15, 16 out of 19 times.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to look for. And remember, at least last year in the beginning, they, you know, they probably knew they couldn't hang with those guys, but they, you know, I don't think they thought they were a 115-loss team in April and May, and then they, you know, lost Machado after that. The April series last year where the Yankees lost 3 out of 4 to Baltimore kind of sticks out and saying, you know, look at what can happen. You don't want to overlook the early part of the schedule, even though there are a lot of bad teams on it. You know, two of those losses were in extra innings. You know, I asked Boone about it earlier this week, knowing full well what the answer was going to be, you know, that, you know, we tend to look at that early part of the schedule and say, you know, they can withstand some of these injuries. They can be okay because right. The early schedule is filled with bad teams. And he was quick to point out, anybody can beat you in this league. It's hard to win games in this league. And all you got to do is look at last year. You know, the Yankees lost, or the Yankees won 100 games, yet they still lost, I forgot what the total is now, they lost, I think, 14 games to the Orioles, the Tigers, the Royals. It was some bad teams. They're going to face some bad teams, and we're going to be crushing them for losing some of those games. But it is a little bit of a soft landing for them with teams that were lost, I think, 417 games combined a year ago.
Yeah.
And you face a lot of them in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Well, it's interesting. Last year, the Yankees went 12-7 against the Orioles. But to your point, they lost to them early in the season. 12-7 isn't bad, but against a team that loses 115 games, you want more.
Three of those losses were in the second week of the season.
Right. The Yankees were 13-6 against Toronto. Again, pretty good job. Here's the problem. The Boston Red Sox against the Orioles, 16-3 against the Blue Jays, 15-4. They were 31-7 against the Orioles and the Jays. Do the math. That's almost the difference in the AL East right there.
And they had the Rays and the Marlins. They had the Marlins early in the season. You know, because remember, there was a point in June where the Yankees and Red Sox were dead even. They had gone on their big streaks at separate times. The Red Sox out of the gate the first 3 weeks, and then the Yankees, you know, from late April on, I think they had won 17 out of 18 at one point, and basically on the same streak the Red Sox started with. And then at one point, they're dead even. We know what happened after that. It's the schedule is what it is. I think everybody just wants to get out of the gate strong. And we'll see where it goes. You know, these teams have set themselves up differently. The Yankees have a bullpen that every team fears. The Red Sox are taking a little bit different approach, having lost a couple of key pieces of their bullpen. And as you look at it, you think about games now, how much they're decided, not based on starting pitching matchup, but what comes out of the pen. So we'll see how that affects how these two teams go at the season.
Thank you, Sweeney. We will see you on Thursday.
See you, Evan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.